Back to the book of Daniel. Today we look at Daniel chapter 4, verse 28. And we're looking into the diary of a lost man. And before this, there's a lot that has occurred before what we're actually reading. Okay? And he has had a dream. Daniel has interpreted that dream. And the part that we're going to begin reading is when the dream becomes a reality. All right? In a few moments, we're going to go back and we're going to talk about the first part of this chapter. But right now, like I say, we're going to start where this dream that Nebuchadnezzar has becomes a reality. Would you stand with me and read from the Word of God, Daniel chapter 4, verse 28. All this came upon Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" And while the word was still in the mouth, a voice fell from heaven. "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever He chooses." That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and ate grass like the oxen. His body was wet with the dew of the heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored Him who lives forever, for His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and the excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, and His ways justice. And those who walk in pride, He is able to put down. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise You. Now I pray that You would open this scripture to our hearts. Give us understanding. Help us to respond according to Your leading. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Today we look at a man who had absolutely everything. This is, as I said, the diary of a lost man. A man who goes from the position of pride and arrogance and rebellion to a position of knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he basically records about an 8-year span in his life where he went from this pride and arrogance to a knowledge of the Most Holy God. And we begin with Nebuchadnezzar's dream. King Nebuchadnezzar, this chapter starts with the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar has. And in his dream, he sees a tree. This isn't just any tree. The Bible says it's a great tree. And it grows its heights to the heaven. It is so large that it can be seen from one end of the earth to the other. And its leaves were lovely. Its fruit was abundant. So much so that the nations ate from its food. Then he saw, in the first part of this chapter, Nebuchadnezzar sees a watcher come down from heaven. Now, watcher is an angel, okay? In their day, they call them watchers. He sees an angel come down from heaven. And this angel cried with a loud voice, cut down the tree. But the stump and the roots, let it remain. Let it be wet with dew. And let him graze the grass of the field. Let him graze with the beast. Let his heart be changed from that of a man to that of a beast. And let seven times pass over him, it says. Interesting reading, isn't it? That he may know, and here's the purpose, here's the point to the whole thing. That he, Nebuchadnezzar, may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will. And he sets over it the lowest of men. This was the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had. And once again, as in times before, this dream troubled the king so greatly that he began to search out, where's the answer? What does this dream mean? And he asked all the wise men of his kingdom, and no one can interpret this dream, so he remembers, I remember Daniel. A man in which the Most High God dwells. It's that man that can give interpretations to dreams. And so he goes to Daniel. And he asked for an interpretation of this dream. And so Daniel begins to tell him. And Daniel's afraid at first. He says, oh, may this dream be for your enemies, king. And the king says, no, listen, this is a dream I had. I want to know the answer. And so Daniel begins to tell him what this means. And he says, king, this great tree of great stature and great beauty, the tree is you. The tree was cut down. King, that's your kingdom being taken from you. And you shall be driven from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. And the whole point to it all is so that you'll learn the lesson that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. You see, at this point, Nebuchadnezzar knows about God, but he does not know God. And that's the problem. Nebuchadnezzar has seen this Most High God, as he puts it in his words. He has seen the Most High God work in the lives of these Jewish captives that are in his cabinet. As a matter of fact, in chapter 2 in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar went to all of his kingdom seeking to have a dream interpreted. And no one could interpret that dream until Daniel, and Daniel gave the interpretation. And you know what Nebuchadnezzar said at that point? Nebuchadnezzar said in chapter 2, verse 47, truly, your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings. But his actions didn't match his words. He saw the mighty hand of God, as we studied a week ago, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When he threatened them because they wouldn't bow down to the golden image that the king had made. And the king had told them, you know, if you don't do this, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. And then who is going to save you from my hand? So he did. We remember how that story goes. He put them in the fiery furnace. The king looks in there and said, didn't we throw three men in that furnace? And they said, yes, king. He said, but there are four. There's four men walking in that furnace, and you know how that story ends. And to them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he said in chapter 3, verse 28, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered them from the fiery furnace. Blessed be their God. Blessed be their God. But he keeps making statements like, my God. And he's not talking about Almighty God. He's talking about his idol gods. And you see, he had seen what God was capable of. But when he looked at himself, he had everything he needed and was filled with arrogance and with pride and never saw a need for God in his own life. And I wonder today, everyone sitting here, do you truly know God? Not have you acknowledged him as God, but do you know him as your God? King Nebuchadnezzar did not. You see, King Nebuchadnezzar's dream was just simply a warning of things to come. And today, I'm here to warn you. I'm here to warn you that there is a God in heaven. I'm here to warn you that the same God that was dealing with Nebuchadnezzar in that day deals with people today. The same God who delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fire is alive and well today, and He's calling people to Him today. You see, our churches are filled with people who are all about religion, but there's more to God than religion. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you a child of the King? Do you know Jesus? Or are you just existing while God is working all around? We go on. You see, this was all about a warning. This is God saying, Nebuchadnezzar, you need to wake up. And even Daniel warns the king, and he says, King, this is you, and here's what you must do in verse 27 of this chapter. He says, break off your sins by being righteous. In our language, what he's saying is repent. Turn from your ways. Turn around. Change of heart. Change of mind. Turn from your sin. And do you know what King Nebuchadnezzar did? Listen to this. Get this. When Daniel said, King, this is a warning. Here's what you do. You repent, you turn. King Nebuchadnezzar did absolutely nothing. Sound familiar? As a matter of fact, King Nebuchadnezzar, instead of acting or changing or repentance, King Nebuchadnezzar grew more prideful and more arrogant. The text that we read, verse 30, the king is walking through his kingdom, or walking through the palace, and he's admiring himself and his work, and he says, is not this the great Babylon that I have built for my royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? I go back to my previous statement. He had seen no need for God in his life because he was God. He was large and in charge. He was the one in control. He had it all under control. So therefore he's filled with pride and arrogance. And Daniel's warning, King, repent because God is about to judge you. He just completely disregards. Today I want to share with you that the same message still goes out. Repent. You see, that's what churches are missing today is the idea of repentance. It's why you can't tell those who claim Christianity any difference between them and those who do not claim to be Christians. They have the idea, as long as I go to church, as long as I, I'm surely good enough to make it to heaven. I want to tell you, that's a lie. The foundation for salvation is repentance, which means you're turning away from sin and whatever you're believing and trusting in to get you to heaven, and you're turning to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. I warn you again, today the call goes out. The warning goes out. You shall not live forever in this life. One of these days you will stand before a holy God who will decide... Or who will decide whether you may enter into His heaven or not. Why are you going to say, God, you should allow me entrance into your heaven? Are you a member of a social club? That won't get it. Are you a member of a church? That won't do it either. Are you a pretty good person? That won't do it either. There's only one thing that will bring, that will open the door of heaven to you, and that one thing is to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing more, nothing less. You see, I think what happened to old Nebuchadnezzar is he thought, this will never happen to me. Very similar to us. Oh, God wouldn't really do that, would He? I mean, after all, I'm not that bad. Have you repented? Is the question. Not are you religious, but have you repented? Jesus himself said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He also said, Luke 13:13, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We've heard this to the point that we become callous to it. But listen, that word perish means to be destroyed. If there is not repentance in your life, the future holds the judgment of God. Brother Doug, would God really do that to me? Listen, there is a heaven and there is a hell. Those who enter eternity apart from Jesus Christ spend eternity in hell. Oh, Brother Doug, does God really do those things? Ask the farmer of Luke chapter 12. I'm going to read this to you. Okay, I want us to share this. Then he spoke a parable, speaking of Jesus. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room and to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? Brother Doug, I don't believe in hell. It doesn't matter whether you believe in hell or not. It's kind of like me saying, I don't believe in gravity. If I jump off a 10-story building, it won't matter whether I believe in gravity or not. The result's going to be the same. I'm going to come to a terrible end. You see, what I believe and what I don't believe doesn't change reality. And yes, my friends, God has established heaven and He's established hell. And I want to tell you this, you're right, God will not send you to hell. God will never send you to hell. You choose to go there by rejection of Jesus Christ. Okay? So don't blame God. Will God send me to hell? No, you choose to go there. And yes, it will happen to you. Oh, my friends, heed the warning. Judgment is coming. You know, you have heard time and time again that Jesus gave His life as the sacrifice for your sin. He took your punishment to the cross of Calvary so that you could have eternal life. Now the question is, what are you going to do with it? We come to the last part. The part that we read today is Nebuchadnezzar loses his kingdom. God gave the king a year to repent. He gave him a year. Yet the more time passed, the more proud the king became. Listen, everybody, please. God's patience is never an indication that He will not do what He says He's going to do. All right? 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. I can see King Nebuchadnezzar saying, you know, after 6 months, saying, yeah, old Daniel, he missed that one. That couldn't have been what the dream meant, because I've gone 6 months and nothing has happened. 7 months, he's growing a little more bold. Yeah, you know. Daniel, he's a good guy, but he must have been wrong. It's been 7 months and nothing happened. 8 months, 9 months, 10 months. It's been 10, almost a year. and nothing has happened. Let me tell you something. All right? Get this. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. That means time does not mean anything to God. But the Lord is not slack. Meaning, that word slack meaning negligence. The Lord is not slack or negligent concerning His promise. As some count slackness, but is long-suffering. Is patient toward us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, if you're sitting here today and you are lost, the only reason you are currently not spending eternity in hell is because of the patience of a loving God. That's it. Don't back up and say, it'll never happen to me. Oh, I've heard about this Jesus coming. I've heard about the death of Jesus and the call to repentance. I've heard about all that all of my life. Nothing's happened to me yet. 11 months. Nebuchadnezzar, nothing had happened. Excuse me. 12 months. A year after Daniel had told him. With each month, it had to be ringing his ears, repent, turn, repent, turn. Finally, after every opportunity, one day, 12 months later, Nebuchadnezzar is walking in his kingdom. Is not this great Babylon that I have built, he says. A royal dwelling I built by my mighty hand, he says. For my honor and my majesty, he says. And the words were still in his mouth when the voice came from heaven and says, Nebuchadnezzar, the kingdom is departed from you. Wow, have you ever done something and immediately you knew, I wish I hadn't have done that? That's kind of that situation. Nebuchadnezzar makes that prideful, arrogant proclamation and God says, that's it. Last chance. And that hour, it says, he was driven from among men. He ate grass like an oxen. He lived outside day and night. The dew fell on him. His hair grew like the feathers of an eagle. His nails like the claws of a bird. And for 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar lived like an animal. And I want to tell you, what a mighty picture of the grace of God that was. Brother Doug, that's grace? Yes, because it's one more attempt to turn Nebuchadnezzar's heart to Almighty God. You see, he could have destroyed Nebuchadnezzar, and he didn't. But out of grace, he shows him the power of an awesome God. And just for the record, Brother Doug, that sounds like a fairy tale. Just for the record, there is such a disease where a person thinks that they are a cow or an oxen, and they try to live like one. And the name of it's boanthropy. Doesn't happen very often, but it is a disease of dementia. And that's what happened to this man. And something in that 7 years changed. At the end of that 7 years, he says, my understanding came back. And you know what he knew? He knew that God was God. Now, I call this the diary of a lost man. And I think he began lost, but I think at the end he come to know God. I think at the end, and this is perhaps speculative on my part, I don't know, but by what he says, I think he come to salvation. In verse 37 he says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice." Nebuchadnezzar turned from self and selfishness to honor the King of heaven. Listen, you can sit where you are and disregard God's warning. You can hear Jesus Christ crucified time and again. But my friends, you understand this. There's consequences to your decision. When King Nebuchadnezzar says, "I praise and extol and honor the King of heaven," that's the point of the service we're at today. I tell you again, and I beg you, consider where you are. Are you truly a child of God? You have said and you have heard the gospel message time and time again. Time and time again you thought, "I need to respond," but did not. "Brother Doug, you don't understand," you say it. You know, you give the invitation and I feel I need to respond, but Brother Doug, I don't want to be embarrassed by walking in front of everybody. You know what that's called? That's called pride. Number one, it's not everybody's business. It's between you and God. You got to get over looking at other people. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. There are people praying for you right now, knowing that the judgment of God is coming, knowing that your time is running out. I want to tell you, there's a lot more. I believe there's a lot more to these stories than just stories. The life of Daniel, as a matter of fact, I think this is a picture of the coming tribulation period that we're going to get into later on. Bottom line is, it's a picture of the judgment of God. Now, you know what is wonderful in the life of a child of God? There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen. You look around here and you say, "Yeah, you holier than thou," and y'all just think you're... No, we don't. Those who are saved in this service realize one thing. We don't deserve it. It was a free gift given to us in spite of the sinners that we are. But one day, we cried out to the God of heaven who gave His Son so that we might have eternal life, knowing that He was crucified upon the cross of Calvary, that our punishment for our sin was laid upon Him where He died for our sin. He was buried, and after 3 days He rose from that grave, knowing all that was done so that He could give us the gift of God, which is eternal life. And you know what we've done to be saved? We called upon the name of the Lord. That's it. "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Have you called? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? If not, my friends, please, please know today that the clock is running. Time is running out. I'm not here to scare you. I'm not here to threaten you. I'm here to share the truth with you. I'm no Daniel, okay? But I can relate to what Daniel was telling King Nebuchadnezzar. He said, "King, please, please, please. God's going to judge. King, please. I'm telling you, please, please, please. God's going to judge. You're going to face either the grace and the mercy of God, or you're going to face the wrath of God. I choose grace. What do you choose?" Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
And I pray for those who are here today who do not know You as their personal Savior. I pray that today will be the day of salvation. And I pray, Lord, You will freely move among us, that You, Lord Jesus, would fill this place with Your presence, so that if anyone is lost, if they're finding You right now, and if You're dealing in their hearts right now, that they'll not even be able to resist You, but they'll respond to the wooing, to the direction, the conviction of Your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, You'd give us hearts to respond to You. For Lord, we know that time is running short. We know we're living in the last days. We know that Jesus is coming again, and we know that there is only one way of salvation. Lord, Lord, draw them into You. In Jesus' name.